Woo! That was like a stampede. Man. We are continuing for another week our series simply entitled Kingdom Come. And as always, I'm going to ask if you would to pray for me as I pray for you. Lord, thank you so much for bringing us together this morning. We thank you so much just for, man, just a time of fellowship, the time of being together, to be able to sit shoulder to shoulder and know that we're not alone in this mess of the world that it is right now. Lord, that it is your goal to allow your kingdom to come here on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, I just pray that through the words that will be spoken, the scriptures that will be shared, through everything that's already happened up to this point, Lord, that just as we just sung, that you truly do set a fire in our hearts and our soul. That our desire when we leave here today is to truly want more of you. But I pray that whatever distractions, whatever burdens, pains, anxieties that we've brought in here this morning, that we can take a deep breath of your spirit. We can feel your peace and kindness. We can set that aside. And just for the next few moments, truly just bask in your glory, Lord. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do in our lives. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. Now, those of you who know me know there's a collection of television shows that I love to watch. And you know, you have your own TV shows that as you're scrolling through the channels, if you happen to come across a particular TV show that's one of your favorites, you'll probably stop and just camp out there for a while and finish the episode. For me, it's shows like Seinfeld or The Office or Parks and Rec. Like as I'm scrolling through, if any of those shows are on, I will stop and just turn it on and focus. And, you know, we know all the lines, we repeat them, we tell, yeah, it's great. But there's one show in particular that I don't talk about a lot. That's one of those things that, you know, if I'm working around the house or if I'm doing something and I see that it's on, I'll just cut it on and have it kind of playing in the background. And almost every time it catches my attention, I find myself sitting on the couch on the edge of my seat watching this show, you know, just fascinated with what's going on. Now, I just had a birthday yesterday, so this show is going to make me sound even older than I really am. But I love Antique Roadshow. Like, I love that show. It's like, if it's on, like, I just want to sit and there's people bringing it. If you've never, has anybody never seen that show, right? What? Like, okay, well, let me explain this to y'all. Beth is like, I would never watch that in my life. But those of you, does anybody love that show, though? Yes, look at all of us now that are old. We love that show, right? Except for Lauren. Lauren, you're wise beyond your years, okay? You're an old soul. But Antique Roadshow, as they set up these antique experts, and people line up for hours, and they come up to these experts, and they show them what they have, and it may be a painting that they found in their great-great-grandma's house, or a vase, or something they picked up at a yard sale, and they believe it's worth value, and they kind of show it to this person, and this person talks about what it looks like, and the style, and goes through all the history of it, and then there's kind of the big, they're like, well, this is how much it would be valued today, and sometimes these vases, and these paintings, and whatever it may be, they're worth thousands of not tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars. And you see these people just light up like, oh my gosh, like I've had this just sitting in my garage and it's worth all this money. And then inevitably there's always that person that they show it and they're like, yeah, that's a fake. You know, it's worth $25 at Target, right? I mean, you find that out too. And so then they go home with their head hung down low because they figure out that the treasure they thought was worth something is worth nothing. And so it's just an incredible show of just, I just love it just watching this treasure that is found by people and seeing the highs and lows of what's going on. Well, we're going to do our own Antique Roadshow this morning. This is exciting, right? For those of you who like the show, everybody's getting excited that love it. And so I've asked Jason Rubley to come up. He has something very special that he's going to be showing for his Antique Roadshow experience. Hello, Jason. How are you?
I'm great.
Everybody's like, what have I got myself into this morning? So, Jason, you and Natalie just recently moved. Right. And in your moving, I guess, sometimes, as parents do, they will pass along stuff to you. Sometimes it's good stuff. Sometimes it's junk. But, you know, no offense, mom and dad and in-laws. But, you know, you get stuff, and you, something was passed along to you guys that was pretty cool. Yes. So you want to kind of tell everybody kind of what happened and what it is?
So the backstory is, my in-laws moved a year and a half ago, and in their moving and downsizing to a townhome, they're like, hey, you want this, you want this, you want this, and of course, 90% of them were like, no, okay, we're not a storage locker. But there was a few things they gave us that we were excited to have, and some of them we could not believe they actually had. So the story is that my father-in-law grew up in Michigan, right outside of Detroit, and his father owned a limousine company. So back in the heyday, they drove for Carole King, The Boss, I mean, you name it, all those, the famous musicians that were coming through, and some that weren't even musicians. So one night he was driving a limo, and the people who were driving, or who he was driving for, wanted to tip him, but they didn't have any money. So this person said, hey, they made out a little sketch, signed it, and gave it to him. And so fast forward to when my in-laws are moving, and we're moving, they said, hey, do you want these guys? And they pulled out these two sketches, and they're rolled up like scrolls from hundreds of years
ago. Dead Sea Scrolls,
just rolled up, flattened. I mean, we're like, what is this? So pull it out. And actually what we had, and here, you hold this one, was done by Stan and Jan Berenstain, who did the Berenstain Bears. And Natalie actually just kind of put this in here to flatten it out, and we hung it up. But if you look at it really closely, you can see these lines in here where it was literally rolled up like the Dead Sea Scrolls and stuffed in an envelope somewhere. But, you know, to us, especially us who grew up with these characters and these books, hundreds of books, and to do some research and figure out, obviously they have since passed, but it was a pretty neat find, I thought, to have an original sketch, and it's actually made out to to her parents, personalized to them, and it says September 1977. So, well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so there you go. We'll see if you make it home with these. I see some people ready to start bidding on some stuff. But thank you, Jason.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Jason shared that story with me. I just thought that was the coolest thing. I mean, you talk about a treasure. I mean, it's in some ways, it's almost priceless, to have an original work of art with, they just drew it out and sketched it out and signed it and obviously addressed it to Natalie's mom and dad. I mean, just incredible. And so Jason's telling me the story, and as he's telling me the story about as he's getting to it, I'm like, what did he find? And what he showed me, I was blown away with. And you could just see this joy and excitement come over Jason as he was the big reveal of what it was. And as I was thinking about this week's parable, I couldn't help myself but stop and think about what exactly we were going to be talking about. Because as you know, as we've been talking about this whole idea of kingdom come, we've been walking through the book of Matthew 13. And in Matthew 13, Jesus goes through this whole series of parables. And every parable begins the same way. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like. And we know that his audience, we've talked about this a lot over the past few weeks, his audience was made up of men and women, and they were made up primarily of farmers and homemakers. And so everything that he used to illustrate was things that they would understand in their own day-to-day life. And so he talked about things like soil, and he talked about seeds, and he talked about being a sower. He talked about weeds, and he talked about yeast. He talked about things that people would understand in those days. And his audience understood this. So then Jesus continues, and that's where we're going to pick up today starting in verse 44. 44 through 46 says this, if you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 13. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away, sold everything he had, and bought it. Now, let's just look at the literal meaning of this right now, because it's pretty self-explanatory. You have a guy that Jesus is telling this story who's walking through this field, and as he's walking through this field, he finds this treasure. Now, it doesn't go into great detail of what this treasure is at this point. The literal, we don't know if he found, you know, a coffee can full of gold or money or what it was, but he's going through this field and he finds this treasure. Now, it sounds odd to us, but in those days, they didn't have banks, right? There was no way to kind of go store money or put it away in bank accounts. What they literally had to do was whenever they had things of value, they had to somehow secure them and bury them on some property that they owned. Now, it sounds kind of crazy that this guy would find this treasure and he would be able to go and buy the field, right? And so he could have the treasure for himself. I mean, it doesn't make sense. Like, if someone knew that they had this treasure, why would they sell this field? But it's quite possible that we're thinking 2,000 years ago. People own property, they own acres and acres of land. And a lot of times what would happen is you would have someone that would own some land and that person would pass away. Either in battle or by sickness or whatever, the land would get passed down, maybe from generation to generation. You had no idea what was in these fields. You would just have acres and acres of land. And so you would have it, and you'd be like, oh, there's probably nothing in there. I probably would have found it by now. If somebody comes to you and offers you, you know, an exorbitant amount of money to purchase this, of course you would say, yeah, I'll take it, right? Like, I need the money now to buy food, to do what I need. Like, that field is doing me no good. Like, just take it. You can have it. And so I think it's safe to assume that as Jesus is telling the story, that people understood this, that this was a common thing, that there might be this piece of property that nobody even knows what's even buried there, and they don't even think that there could be something buried there. So this man's walking across, and he finds this treasure, and he's like, oh, I've got to have it. So he goes, and he sells everything that he has, and he comes back, and he gives the owner the money, and now he owns that field, and we know that brings him nothing but joy. And then Jesus continues with the second parable that falls right in line with the first. He talks about this merchant who was this jewelry dealer. And in those days, pearls meant something. Pearls were like, and not that they don't mean anything today, but pearls are a whole lot more accessible today than they were then. Pearls were a sign of almost royalty. It was a sign that you had money. And the larger and more pure the pearl was, that's how much money that you would have. So people would have these things as almost like showing off. Like, this is what I have. So this merchant obviously knew what he was looking for, knew what he had come across. He found this pearl and said, oh, I've got to have this. This one pearl is greater than all the jewelry and all the pearls that I have right now. So he goes and he sells everything that he has, everything in his collection, everything that he's selling. I mean, it's like a liquidation sale, going out of business. He gets rid of everything so he can come and find and buy this one pearl. And he finds joy when he has it. Now that's the literal meaning, right? You've got a guy walking across a field. He finds some treasure. He wants it. He sells everything. He buys the field. He has the treasure. You got the merchant who finds the pearl, that wants the pearl, sells everything he has, buys it, and now they both have joy. So what about the spiritual context? What was Jesus trying to get them to understand through this parable? Well, we know that already going through the first part of Matthew 13, whenever Jesus talks about this field, he's talking about the world. Anytime the field is used, it's about the world. So as he's talking, by this point, hopefully light bulbs are starting to go off to his audience. So when he says there was a man who was walking through the field, they know he doesn't mean a field, like we could walk out back and walk through a field. They know that, oh, Jesus is talking about the world. There's a man who was walking in the world, and he found something. He found something that was so special, that meant more to him than anything else he could ever have. That he went and got rid of everything in his life. He cleared out everything to make this one thing number one. Now, as I was thinking about that this past week, you know, when you think about the field and you think about the world, I think in the society we live in, it seems like this kingdom of heaven, because that's what Jesus is talking about. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field. If the field is the world, we have the kingdom of heaven all around us. Like, we look around, and we, especially here in the South, there's churches on every corner. Like we turn on our radio stations and there's like Christian radio we can listen to. We go to our smart devices, our tablets or our phones or our computers, and there's apps, you know, all these Bible apps and Bible study things and all of this stuff. Like there's like we have mission trips and we go out and we do outreaches and there's Bible studies and small groups and there's all of these things. So to us, we would look at that and say, well, that doesn't really make sense because I don't think the kingdom of God is a buried treasure, because it seems to me like in this field, in this world that we live in, the church is pretty prominent. Everyone can find the church. Everyone, if they want to, can discover Christianity. There's outlets. There's all of these things. So it just really doesn't make sense. But it does. Because I think truly, even though churches are visible, Christian radio is visible, Christian concerts are visible, Bibles are visible, Christian bookstores are visible, all of these things are visible, it doesn't mean that people have found the treasure. It doesn't mean that just because you can see it, you realize what it is. And Jesus is letting people know this, that we can walk through the field of this world and we can see all of these other things. We may even find church and find religion and miss the treasure, which is the kingdom of heaven. So, I think for us as believers, and maybe even non-believers, as we think about the treasures of our lives, the things that we treasure the most, we have to ask ourselves two questions. First question is, what treasure am I pursuing? And the second question we have to ask is, what is the result of having that treasure? Because we're all walking around in this field. We all are in this same world together. There are things that all of us see, that all of us experience, that all of us have access to if we try hard enough or do certain things or whatever. So what is that treasure that you're chasing? And what is the result of that treasure when you catch it? If we go back to when we're young, what's the first treasure we're kind of taught to have? You know, think about school. Well, you got to go get good grades, right? I mean, that's a treasure. You've got to have good grades. And then it's not just about good grades. It's about academic or athletic or extracurricular accomplishments. Well, what are you doing? What have you won? What trophies do you have? You know, what band concerts have you finished first in? What academic studies have you done? Or do you have over a 4.0? All of these things. We're taught at a very young age, let that be your treasure. Let grades, let accomplishments, let all of these things be the things that you treasure. And then we get old enough, and now all of a sudden it's college. That treasure becomes college. Oh, I got to go to college. I got to go to a good college. I got to go to a college that will ready me for a career that I can be successful in. And so all of a sudden, college is not just a treasure. All of a sudden, it's that career. What are you studying for? What do you want to have? And why do we want to have a career that is profitable? So we can have money, right? So we can have stuff, so that we can have this bank account and paychecks and all of these things that are hopefully a good career will give you, promotions, all of that stuff. And then you start talking about just personal life. What becomes our treasure? Our treasures become our marriage. Oh, I gotta find just that right person to marry, that Mr. Right or Mrs. Right. And if that marriage don't work, that's okay. I'll try to find another treasure in another marriage. Then our treasure becomes our kids. We start having kids, and one, two, three, however many you have, and all of a sudden your life is built all around those children. And as they go, you go. If they're happy, you're happy. If they're sad, you're sad. If their lives are in chaos, your life's in chaos. Like, that becomes our treasure. And then it's just the stuff, right? Like the houses, the cars, the boats, the vacations, the trips, all of these things become our treasure. So I think our treasures that we chase in this life, and all of us are guilty of this, the treasures that we chase can all be summed up in three words: more, bigger, and better. That's it. If what we chase is more than what we currently have, if what we chase is bigger than what we currently have, if what we chase, if that treasure that we're after, that treasure that we're hunting for is better than what we currently have, then it must be worth having, right? If what we're wanting is always more, bigger, and better, then what's the harm in that? If I get more, if I get the bigger, if I get the better, then I'm going to be happy, right? Right? No. And we all know that's not true because we've all had more, we've all had bigger, and we've all had better. And we get to that place and we're not truly happy. Because that brings up the second question. It's not just about what treasure am I pursuing, it's what is the result of these treasures. What's the result of this pursuit and acquisition of all of these things that we want? Of the good grades, the academic, the athletic, extracurricular accomplishments, the college, the money-making degree, the career, the promotions, the paycheck, the bank accounts, the marriage, the kids, the home, the cars, the trophies. What's the result? I mean, does it make us happy? Let's be honest, sometimes, right? I like what Dave Ramsey says. He says, the person that says money doesn't buy happiness is usually broke, right? Like money can buy you happiness for a season. Because that's what happiness is. Happiness is an emotion. And there's things that we can do that make us happy for a moment. And that moment may be 5 minutes, it may be an hour, it may be days or weeks or even a month. There's things that we can do in our life that make us happy. Those treasures can make us happy. But those treasures can also do the complete opposite. Do they bring heartache? Do they bring pain, stress, anxiety, depression? Sure, sometimes they do. So these treasures that we look for in this field of life, can bring us happiness and can bring us despair. It can bring us both. So what's so special about this treasure that these two people found? It's because the treasure that they found, the treasure that they discovered, did not bring them happiness, did not bring them despair. The guy who bought the field all of a sudden didn't get all stressed out. Like, great, now I have a field I have to take care of. How am I going to take care of this? No, there was none of that, right? The person who bought the pearl that was so valuable, you don't see anything where he's like, well, great, now I got to find a place to store it because everybody knows I have it and people are going to be coming at. There's none of that. Because the treasures that they found did not bring them happiness and it also did not bring them stress. The treasure that they found brought them joy. And joy comes in the morning, no matter what your life is like, no matter when all hell is breaking loose in the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of COVID, if you've lost your job or you're on furlough or bills are piling up and your kids can't go back to school the way that you want to, you know, you're sick of seeing your family or you've been isolated and you're alone, all of those things. Joy can get you through that. Because that's what the treasure, that's what the kingdom of heaven gives you. It doesn't give you happiness. It's not fleeting. It doesn't give you stress. Church and your relationship with God should never bring you stress in life. It should never bring you despair. It should bring you joy. And not only joy, it should bring you contentment. You show me somebody that has joy. You show me somebody that is content in their life. And I will show you somebody who has found their treasure. Because it is impossible to find the treasure of the kingdom of heaven and not be content with your life. Now, this isn't the contentment where I'm saying, you know, don't be ambitious or don't try to work hard or don't. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that no matter what happens, you are content in your life because you have the joy of the treasure. Paul talks about it in Philippians chapter 4. We all know this verse. He says, I rejoice greatly, this is verse 10, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Paul discovered it. He discovered his treasure. For years, Paul was Saul, and he had he was like worshipped as far as just commander and going after Christians and where he was at and his place in society. I'm sure he had money and houses and women and all of these things. And all of those things, they brought him happiness at times, but all of those things brought him despair. So he got to this point in his life when he discovered that the treasure was not all the things that he could put in his bank account or in his garage or in his home or how many relationships he could have. His treasure, when he discovered it was the kingdom of heaven, brought him joy and contentment. That no matter where he's at in life, no matter how rocky some of his relationships may be, no matter how stressful his work environment may be, no matter how little money he has in his bank account, no matter what the doctor said about his recent health checkup, any and every situation, Paul says, I have learned the secret of being content. He found his treasure. He found his joy. So the question I want to ask you this morning is this. Is your treasure bringing you joy? It's the treasure that you've been chasing. It's the treasure that you've been running after, that you've been building toward your whole life. Has it made you content in life? That no matter what this world throws at you, you know that God's got it. Rich or poor, well-fed or hungry, healthy or sick, no matter where I'm at in life, God's got this. If that's where you're at, you found your treasure. But if you want to pull back and be really honest, I think most of us need to be. I don't think that we're really there yet. I think we're still trying to chase things, and that's why this season of this pandemic is so frustrating and brings so many people so much despair, because we spent all of our lives building treasures and chasing treasures that we thought would get us through seasons like this in life. And now we're here and it's not. Can you find joy in the middle of a pandemic? Absolutely. Can you find contentment in the middle of COVID? Absolutely. But it's only going to happen if you find your treasure and make sure that treasure is the kingdom of heaven. Because it's there. It's ready for all of us. Every single one of us can do it. But what did the guy who was walking across the field and what did the merchant have in common? When they found that treasure, they knew the value. And they cleared out their lives. And they said, nothing else could even compare to this. Like I just want to get rid of it all. And all I want is this treasure I found in this field. All I want is this pearl. Like you can have it all. Like, this is all that I want. All that I want to chase after. All that I need. That could be us. Man, we just saying, set a fire in my heart. We can't have that fire in our heart and our soul if we're chasing after the wrong treasure. We can't have that fire in our heart if the field that we're walking through is cluttered with landmines of life. Bigger, flashier, more, bigger, better. No. We can have joy in this season. We can have contentment in this season, but we must be willing to lay it all down, to let it all go. And say, you know what? All I want and all I need is the kingdom of heaven in my life. All I need is God. Because I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That's it. So what treasure are you pursuing this morning? What will be the result of you finding that treasure? If you finally get the job you want, is that going to solve all your problems? If your kids finally make good grades, is that going to solve all your problems? If you got another stimulus check, is that going to solve all your problems? No. Because it's fleeting and it's not real treasure. It's fake. Just as fake as those little gold coins you find in, you know, some arcade machine that spits them out. It's not real currency. It's not real. These treasures of this field, these treasures of earth are not real. But yet we spend all of our life pursuing and chasing them and ignoring the treasure that's right in front of us. The kingdom of heaven. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, this morning I pray that in our hearts we become treasure hunters. But that we no longer chase the treasures of this world. We no longer chase the more, the bigger, the better. That we chase the kingdom of God. We chase that treasure, which is the kingdom of heaven. And that we get to a point in our lives, God, where we say, you know what, God, you can have it all. You can have everything that we've been chasing. You can have all the treasures that we've accumulated in our lives. I don't want any of it. Because it's brought me happiness, but it's brought me despair. Lord, I want the treasure that brings me joy. The treasure that brings me contentment in life. Lord, that's what I want. That's what I want to pursue. That's what I want to find. Lord, let that be our desire this morning. The treasure that we chase after. The treasure we want. Let your kingdom come, Lord, in our lives, in our hearts, in our field. Please stand.